All right, good evening. I am trying Facebook streaming this week, which, believe it or not, is different than YouTube streaming. And so still finding my way around the software, around the technology a little bit. I promise one of these weeks I'm going to get it down. This week we're going to talk about politics, the divisiveness of politics, the idolatry of politics, some of the accusations that sometimes are thrown around about Christians getting too far into politics and things like that. We'll kind of try and parse through what's accurate, what's inaccurate, some of those things that I guess a lot of the accusations that are made, how legitimate are they? I think that's a fair question. And so before we get into that, I of course just want to let you know about everything we're doing at Focus Press. We stay real busy with Focus Plus, our subscription service. We've got everything here on the Focus Press Facebook page, the YouTube channel, everything we're doing there, the podcast going up and all that. And of course, I write at least twice a week at jackwilkie.co. That's jackwilkie.co. And so make sure you're on the subscription list there. You get every article as soon as it's released. And I'm putting ink to paper here really soon on my next book, which I will be releasing chapter by chapter to subscribers of that site. So be sure to be plugged into all of that stuff. But having said all that, let's talk a little bit about politics. Let's talk about the issue of politics, about, again, the idolatry of it, things like that. And so you'll see the accusation. There's posts that go around Facebook from time to time. There's been one lately. I don't want to mention the name of the author who put it out there because this is not about him. It's not against him. This is something that is just pretty common in Christian circles on the internet, on social media, which is to say that if you care more, you talk more about, you post more about politics than you do about your religion, about your Christianity, then politics might be an idol for you, that your priorities are out of line. I think there can be some merit to that. We're going to look at the yes and the no. And one of those things where politics really does become an idol has to do with things like this. If you're not familiar, this is First Baptist Church, Dallas. Real interesting church down there, a very big church, old church, a lot of money. As you can see, a very fancy auditorium they have there. Robert Jeffress is the preacher's name there, and he regularly makes appearances on Fox News to talk about politics, and every 4th of July, they have Freedom, well, the Sunday before 4th of July, they have Freedom Sunday. They bring in a political speaker. They've had Mike Pence, Vice President, or former Vice President Pence, a few years ago. People like, well, now I'm going to draw a blank on the guy's name, David Barton, the Christian religious historian, American historian guy, people like that to come and preach the sermon. I don't know if they call it giving it a talk or whatever it may be. And as you can see, everyone in the crowd is waving flags. All of the songs are stars and stripes, kind of patriotic hymns about America, America the beautiful, God bless America, things like that. That's not what church is for. Church is about Jesus. I'm not one of those that says being a Christian means you can't consider yourself an American. I don't believe in that at all. I believe you should celebrate the Independence Day and things like that, or at least it's a good idea to do so. That's not the time and place for it. Sunday is about Jesus, about the death, burial, and resurrection, and taking of the body and the blood, and hearing a gospel sermon. Maybe not something like this. And so people point to that and say, that's religious idolatry. That's Christian nationalism, which I'll talk about on another video, probably a few months down the line, Lord willing. But it really is something that kind of makes a mockery of the church. And so people look at that and say, that's political idolatry. Now, they don't say it as much about the other side, but the other side does have that happen. President Joe Biden back in January showed up at black churches to essentially get out the vote. And this is something that is not uncommon, especially in black churches in the South, to have political leaders, typically Democrat political leaders, come and speak to the congregation on Sunday morning, very much in the same vein, just on the other side of the aisle from what First Baptist Dallas does. Yeah, I think you should have a problem with it when both sides do those kinds of things and give the Lord's Day to a politician to get up there and make a campaign speech. That's not something that we need to be doing with church. Of course, you'll see memes on Facebook as well. This one, I blacked out the Jesus' face because I'm not real sure about the second commandment violation thing of depicting Jesus. I'm not real comfortable with it, but you see things like this and people posting, you know, that God is with Trump and things like that. You can like the guy's policies without going to that level, without saying things like that. There was one last week where when Trump's convictions were handed down, look, he's just like Jesus, you know, falsely accused, falsely convicted. Okay, we don't need to make necessarily that comparison. I think about 3 people posted that and about 300 posted about how against that they were. And so it's one of those where the hype was a lot worse than the actual meme itself. But you see things like this go around, and I think that can become a political idolatry kind of thing. The other being just caring too much about it, of obsessing about it, of consuming news and scrolling through the feed day and night, and the as we call it, doom scrolling, just kind of that obsession, that feeling angry and upset about everything all the time. I think that can be a problem. I think that's where politics can become an idol, where you think that that's the only thing in the world that matters, and all kinds of things like that. Yeah, that's not a positive thing, and something that we need to check in ourselves to say, does this matter too much to me? Do I need to calm it down? Has it become an idol in my life? On the other side, when politics are not an idol, and with posts like that about you care too much about politics, there's 2 things I want to talk about. First of all, we have a bit of an ivory tower problem. A lot of times preachers can say these things to people, but they're not the ones. In fact, we just dealt with a question from a Focus Plus subscriber on a Think Deeper episode, or a Deep End episode, the special edition podcasts, dealing with a job situation where they're dealing with a transgender person who wants you to call them the name, wants you to call them the pronouns, and HR enforcing that and things like that. These are political things that trickle down into the workplace, laws that are passed and tolerance kind of things, and you can lose your job. There is no protection for your religious values to say, I'm not going to call that person the name they want to be. These things matter to the people on the street, to the people in the workplace, whereas us in the ministry, we're very guarded from that. We're cloistered away from some of the real consequences from that. But as I've said many times, even the grocery store, even the price of a pack of eggs and a gallon of milk shows how directly politics affect your life. And when you read something like 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, where Paul talks about prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, but there's 2 reasons that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Good rulers and praying for them to do their job lets us focus on other things. We do have to focus on politics so heavily because of how deeply it affects our everyday lives. When there's not that much disagreement, when the parties are pretty closely aligned on most important things, but on a couple of the specifics, yeah, you don't have to focus on politics that much. But when it affects every dime you spend and every part of your day as it does right now, we should, you know, pray for them that they would get us back to a place where we can lead quiet and peaceable lives and all godliness and reverence, not worrying about, am I going to lose my job if I actually come out as a Christian? But it goes on the second half of that. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Something I hear a lot is kind of this false dichotomy between evangelism and politics. We don't need to get involved in that stuff. We don't need to make an idol out of that. We need to just evangelize. But notice what it says here. Pray for them. We can lead these quiet and peaceful lives. We can go about our Christian lives. This is good and acceptable for the sake of evangelism. Our evangelism, we should be praying that government gives us space that we can do our job as Christians and not have to worry about working a third and fourth job to put food on the table for our family, so that we can evangelize, so we can put more money into mission work, so we can focus more on the work of the Lord rather than the basics of surviving day-to-day life. And so it really is kind of a false choice between evangelism and politics. Politics affects the real world. And as I said, I really think a lot of the ministers who are going to get up in October and November and preach, not the donkey or the elephant, but the lamb, they are in that ivory tower and don't realize how directly this affects people. It affects their kids and the policies, the laws that are in place for the schools that their kids are going to and the friends that their kids are growing up around and the people for them, their kids to marry. And I mean, the real world stuff, I don't think it's healthy where we've got this thing where it just tells Christians, yeah, you need to get over it. You need to stop caring about that stuff. If you were heavenly minded, you wouldn't care about that stuff. That's not really fair. The other side about that is we have this sacred secular divide. We've got church over here and everything else over there. Spirituality and religion over here and everything else over there. And it's a compartmentalized thing. And you do this and you don't do that. And I think this feeds into that, telling people to choose caring about religion or caring about politics. Religion flows into politics. Religion is a huge part of your politics. Religion flows into everything that you do, every hobby you have, every thing that you do in your job and in your family and in your friendships and everything, every value that you have, every belief that you have flows from your religion. And so to kind of cut off your politics from your religion, it doesn't make sense. It's not something that should happen. We should be teaching people how to not have a sacred secular divide and say the sacred infiltrates all of these secular things and changes them and betters them and helps us understand them more clearly. But when we do it this way, what you end up with is the agree to disagree mindset among Christians. Well, you can believe this, I can believe that, and we're both Christians. Certain things, it's not okay to believe. Certain things, it's okay for a preacher to get up and say, you're in sin if you're in favor of such and such policy, and make no bones about it. But when we try and keep this out of the church, and so that leads us to the second half of this. Is it idolatrous? It can be. It absolutely is in many cases. But it's not inherently idolatrous. And I think sometimes that's overstated. Is it divisive? Yes, some in bad ways, some in good ways. And so let's look at that a little bit. Are politics too divisive for Christians to participate? There's a lot of people making that case. You wouldn't believe the book industry. I don't know who's buying these books. I don't know how much money they're making, but how much Christian publishers think this needs to be said. The politics are divisive. This is just a small sampling of the books I found talking about exactly that, of the extremes and the division. And I mean, Christian Chronicle writes about this every month and about political divides. And you find articles and podcasts and things everywhere. We're just so divided by politics, and it's such an issue. And it's kind of funny, it's given rise to things like this, the pour over. Politically neutral, Christ-first news source. And they're advertising in my Facebook feed all the time. Tired of the extreme right and the extreme left. We've got, you know, for Christians, this news delivered straight to you without bias, without any of those things. It comes out that Anthony Fauci lied about admitted that the 6-foot social distancing was just totally made up. What does the pour over do? They post on Instagram, choose humility. Basically, everybody makes mistakes. You make mistakes too. Who are you to get onto this guy? When you find yourself grumbling about others, don't forget to check your own heart. Yeah, we should pull the log out of our own eye, but I didn't ruin the economy and probably kill hundreds of thousands of people. The guy should be held accountable. Justice is a good thing, but this politically neutral thing, they can't stay neutral. There is no neutrality is the point that I'm getting at here. They have things like about abortion restrictions, but they go through what's kind of being proposed and what's on the table, and more than anything, they just come out, well, we just need to love each other. Yeah, we do. What does that mean? What does that mean as regards to voting on abortion? What does love look like in those situations? Well, if you don't have an answer, what help are you? Why are you there? This is what Christianity is supposed to do, is give people answers, and that's where the division comes in. Now, we're going to grant right up front, some division is bad. Some division does not need to happen. We don't have to put every opinion we've ever had out in front of people, because the more opinions you put out, the more opportunity you're giving people to disagree with you. The more things you comment on, the more chance there is somebody goes, I don't like that. I don't agree with that. Yeah, not all division is something that we need to go after. Not all division is something that a divisive person is something the Bible is very against. On the other hand, we can go too far with that and say, well, division is just something that avoid it at all costs. No, we can't do that. In fact, I'm going to go a little bit out of order on my slides here. Some knucklehead wrote this a few years ago in 2020. America's divide has invaded the church. How will we stop it? And the prescription from this knucklehead was, politics are divisive. It's not wrong to take a side, but we just need to stop talking about it. We need to stop saying what we believe. We need to stop putting it out there on social media and things like that. If you haven't guessed, if you didn't notice the logo in the corner there, that knucklehead was me. I'm going to tell you why I don't agree with that anymore, why I was wrong to say we shouldn't talk about it. As I said, we don't need to put every opinion we've ever had out there. We don't need to broadcast it to everybody at all times. Absolutely. That is a divide that doesn't need to happen. On the other hand, we have to realize some division is unavoidable and even necessary. I mentioned earlier that every inch of your life has been politicized. Here's why that is in this country. John Adams, one of the founders, one of the early presidents, said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." That's why everything's political. That's why we have to debate everything. That's why your life is so touched by politics in so many ways, is because we don't have a moral base. And so we're not arguing over what percentage of tax should be taken. We're not arguing over basic stuff about where to build a road and things like that. We're arguing over who gets to use what bathroom. What is a man and what is a woman? We're arguing over the most basic stuff in the world of can you say it's wrong to be LGBT of whatever stripe? Can you say that we shouldn't have pride parades and things like that? That's not the same kind of debates that people used to have when they had that shared moral base that Adams was talking about. And he just came right out and said it. If we lose that, this system isn't going to work. And it leads to this division where everything's politicized. And of course, you have to pick a side. Because something like that, well, let's keep our policies to ourselves. Let's keep our beliefs to ourselves. But then they say, there's a trick play that gets run there. Well, Christians shouldn't talk about politics. The minute somebody says that, you know what somebody on the other side is going to hear? Okay, I'm going to make everything political. You can't talk about it because it's political. Guess what? You can't talk about it when a man follows your little girl into the women's room. You can't talk about it because that's politics and you're supposed to stay out of that. That's divisive. That might get people to leave your church if you take a strong stand. You can't have that. You see the play being run, it's no good. When we have to debate these things, because if we just leave this alone, well, who wins? Who does get to go in the rest? Somebody's got to win. And you can look at it as, oh, well, it's just ugly to look at it as winning and losing. It's the reality of the situation. One belief system is going to be the base belief system. One way of life is going to win out over the other. So once again, your life is so defined by the political, by every little bit of it coming down to what is the foundation for truth? Is it God? As governments are supposed to kneel before Christ, Psalm 2, and Romans 13, carry out God's justice, or is it whatever they come up with as the whim of the day? Well, we're seeing that, and it's not any good, and it is affecting our lives in such negative ways. And so when we say things like, let's just not talk about it, let's keep our opinions to ourselves, that's what happens. You say, well, we can agree to disagree. Let's have conversations. Let's just, you know, you believe one thing about abortion and I believe another. You believe one thing about LGBT and pride parades and I believe another. And what's really important is that we hear each other out. No. What's really important is for the church to say, thus says the Lord, about things that we need to clear up. As I said, some division is unavoidable and even necessary. And there are times where you need to say that which needs to be said. Francis Schaeffer, my guy, one of my favorite authors, had this to say. He said, truth carries with it confrontation. Truth demands confrontation. Loving confrontation, but confrontation nevertheless. If our reflex action is always accommodation, regardless of the centrality of the truth involved, there is something wrong. Let's start on the second half of that. If our reflex is always accommodation, no matter how central the truth, it's, well, you get your stage, you get your turn to say your side of things, and I'll hear you out, and all of us are on equal footing here, and you've got yours, I've got mine, and you know, we'll just try and figure out kind of, in fancy philosophical terms, the Hegelian thing, the thesis, antithesis, synthesis, we'll just learn to live together. It doesn't work. If you do that, you're saying truth doesn't matter. You're saying that your thesis is useless. It is just no better than any other one. Well, as Christians who have God's word, we believe it is better than any other one. Not just better, but right. We believe there's right and there's wrong. And if you say, well, I believe in right and wrong, but that's a private thing to me, you don't believe in right and wrong. You believe in subjective truth. You believe that to you it's true, but to somebody else it might not be. No, this is true. It is wrong to kill infants. It is wrong to do certain things. And you look back on 4 years ago with COVID, how many things that were, especially one half of us of the country, was very much shoved into a corner to keep our opinions to ourselves, that now a lot of things were proven to be true. A lot of things that I'm not going to say lest we lose our YouTube channel when this goes up. Things that are still being censored in that way, but were true. We've got to say the truth when these things matter, because they affect real lives. They affect people's families. They affect people's livelihood. They affect all kinds of things. And when we say, well, we'll just sit on the truth because people might not like it, that's no good. And so when churches say, you know, it's not good and bad, it's not right and wrong, I'm sorry, they've got doctors out there who are doing surgeries on children to give them irreversible gender reassignment, who are giving them hormone treatments, things like that. That's an evil person. That's somebody the Psalms tells you to pray against, that God would stop them as strongly as he sees fit. That's okay to say that. It's okay to say there is good and evil in the world. It's okay to say certain things, certain policies are better than others. Because the funny thing about this is, a lot of times people will get into this kind of talk, but then when it comes to the most popular, socially endorsed items of the day, like immigration or the racial narrative, especially of 2020, oh, okay, well, we'll have that conversation. We can talk about that. We have to talk about that. We cannot be silent, and justice and all these kinds of things. Again, not to pick on them too much, but my favorite, the Christian Chronicle, they will talk all day long. They'll have whole issues about that, but then they'll say, well, we should stay out of politics. We can't be silent about this political issue, but your political issue, like abortion, well, you know, to each their own. It's appeasing the spirit of the age. If you can't take a stand and stand against a world that is running off a cliff away from God, what good is the church? Where is our prophetic voice that says, thus says the Lord, about these things? Things like immigration, where welcoming the foreigner, when you look back in Leviticus, if there was a foreigner among them, they were supposed to, yeah, I mean, every now and then when somebody came in, the person was supposed to assimilate, and you were to treat them kindly. That doesn't mean bringing 30 million people in. Because again, going back to how this affects your real life, none of us can afford proper housing anymore. And it's such an issue. Anybody who's house hunted in the last 5 years, it is insanity. We've got 30 million people here who shouldn't be here. You know what supply and demand means? Is there's 30 million people that need housing that shouldn't be here. And if you took them out of the way and made them enter legally and cut those numbers down big time, housing gets a lot more affordable. This affects your real life. The contribution to the church, things like that, are a third and fourth level thing that happens because we didn't stop immigration and they're not closing the border. These things matter. There are truths about these things. There are laws. It's okay to stand up and say these things, but we're not supposed to do those things. And so when we deal with issues like this, we cannot afford to be pluralistic people. We cannot afford to be relativist and say, you've got your truth, I've got mine, and we've got to figure out a way to keep everybody happy in the church within their truths. Certain truths the church can and should preach from the pulpit. Certain truths that, and it's also a filtering mechanism, that where I said some division is necessary. In fact, I had somebody, a member at a congregation I once preached at, where it was in Texas, they were doing anti-abortion laws. In fact, it was the one that ended up going all the way up to the Supreme Court and leading to Roe versus Wade being overturned. When it was first put in place in Texas, the Church of Satan came out strongly against it. And I posted on social media about, well, look, here's the sides we're dealing with here. The Church of Satan is in favor of striking this down, and that tells you a lot. And this woman from my church came out defending the Church of Satan. Well, they don't actually worship Satan, and it's just, you know, this thing. Think about what you're doing. Think about what side you're on. And I said, yeah, no, this is not good. I'm going to side with the Bible, which says we shouldn't kill people, and it should be something that the state regulates to not let people kill other people, especially infants in the womb. And that's the problem. She never came back to church again. I tried to talk to her. Wasn't a lot of receptivity there. You look at something like that, that is somebody whose heart had no interest in God. She was more ready to defend the Church of Satan than to look at this biblically. It is a sad thing that she left, but on the other hand, my other option was, well, I won't speak up, I won't say abortion's wrong, I won't say that it should be made illegal because this might upset her. We can't do that. We've been doing that for too long, and we have to stop doing that. So, to sum up, is politics an idol? Yeah, it really can be. I think a lot of people idolize certain politicians, idolize certain policies, idolize... even right now on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, idolatry of the Constitution itself has kind of been a debate over the last few weeks. And whether you think that's a thing or not is up to you. But yeah, politics can become an idol left or right. but not all political engagement is idolatry. Caring about these things that affect your life so deeply in so many ways, that's not something that you need to be ashamed of, that you care, that you want to vote, that you think one vote is better than another and one policy is better than another. As far as divisiveness, again, avoid it. Romans 12:18, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. If saying we shouldn't murder little children causes you to be at odds with somebody else, okay, so be it. I mean, that especially as a church, especially from the pulpit, that's not as far as it depends on you. That was as far as it depends on you, and as far as it depended on God and His Word, and so we've got to speak truth where it is. Let the chips fall where they may. Results are God's job, not ours, and so we have to leave those things to Him. I want to thank you for tuning in. I have no idea if this actually broadcasted to Facebook or not. If it did not, it is recording. I will upload it to YouTube. If folks are watching, thanks for tuning in. If not, you're going to catch this a little bit later on YouTube. I'm figuring it out as I go. Thankfully, in summer, engagement numbers go down as everyone goes to camp and VBS and all kinds of activities, and so it gives me a chance to work out the kinks and figure out what I'm doing before everybody gets back online a little bit more in the fall. So thank you for tuning in. Again, check out the resources. I've got the links page just the resources page at the end of the video here. And so for more, to subscribe to my email list is on there as well. You can check all that out, and I'll be back next week, Lord willing, with another cultural breakdown.